check out what people are saying about the Optimistic Divorcees podcast.
Hi, I'm Latoya from the Midwest, and I'm not an avid podcast listener, but when I do have time, I love to catch up on one of my favorite podcasts, Optimistic Divorcees, with two of my favorite podcasters, Charisse and Shari. The podcast is full of love, joy, hope, inspiration, laughter, and a beautiful example of friendship. Thank you, Charisse and Shari, for sharing your lived experiences with us. You are appreciated.
My name is Shari. I listen from Atlanta, Georgia. I absolutely love the Optimistic Divorcees. As a divorcee myself, I'm not always optimistic, but I absolutely love what this podcast is doing. It does give me hope. It gives me insight. It is so relatable. I just absolutely love Shari and Charisse. They bring so much fun to the podcast. They bring so much experience and knowledge and wisdom. And I appreciate their candidness, their openness. I appreciate the topics that they bring and the speakers that they bring. Everything is so relevant, and I absolutely love it.
We hope you enjoy this week's brand new episode.
All right, ladies and gents, thanks so much for tuning in to yet another episode of The Optimistic Divorcees. We're just two happily divorced women who are optimistic about life and real about love. If you're new to this podcast, then let me introduce you to the way we do things around here. We like to start off with a segment titled, I Do, I'm Done. And Charisse is looking at me, and I know why. I know why. Because I forgot to tell you our names. Which I guess I should do. I'm Shari, she's Charisse. All right, so going back to who I do, I'm done.
I was scared, y'all. I was scared to say anything.
You know, that's the whole thing when, like, you're not doing it on a weekly basis and, like, you're coming back doing it, like, every other week. You're like, now, how does this work again? Listen, if y'all have been listening to us for a while, you know I can't remember anything. So I do need Sister Charisse to keep me on track sometimes.
Well, she'd be giving me that mama look, so I was scared to say anything, guys.
But even with the look she gave that she wasn't trying to give, I knew what she was giving. Which is why I rolled it on back and, you know, said our names. Anywho, moving forward. This segment, I Do, I'm Done, is where we talk about things that we're saying I do to, things that we love, appreciate, are excited about. And then there's the other side of the coin, which is the I'm done. Things that we're not feeling, that we're upset about, that, you know, really grinds our gears. So, y'all, Charisse is over here acting up. You can't see it. She's acting up. She's throwing up middle fingers and everything.
Sorry, that was between us.
Oh, well, now it's between all of us. So I'm going to kick it off today. And I'm going to say that I'm going to say I do to the U.S. Senate approving the bill to make daylight savings time permanent. Let's give a round of applause for the U.S. Senate doing something good. I mean, the way that I'm going to love not having to go back and forth, setting the time forth. Ain't nobody got time for all of that. You know, just keep it the way it is throughout the whole year. Let us get as much sunshine as possible. You know, I mean, it does our bodies and our mental health good. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm keeping it simple. I'm saying I do. To that. Charisse, what about you?
So do you
you want to ask a question? Okay.
Yeah. Hello. Okay. I'd like to
engage in conversation.
Right.
Because I'm like, all right, I'll see what I'm going to say next. Here's what you got. I know, I'm so rude.
Do you know what the history is behind daylight savings and what's the other one?
I don't.
Standard?
Nope.
Because I'm just wondering the history and how is it that we can just change it?
You know, let's look it up. Let's look it up.
Let's learn the audience something today.
All right. Okay. So I'm seeing here on Wikipedia, it's the practice of advancing clocks during warmer months so that darkness falls at a later clock time. But let's see here. Daylight savings time history. Oh, the idea of aligning waking hours to daylight hours to conserve candles was first proposed in 1784 by U.S. polymath Benjamin Franklin. Franklin suggested in a satirical letter to the editor of the Journal of Paris that waking up earlier in the summer would economize candle usage and calculated considerable savings. In 1895, New Zealand entomologist and astronomer George Hudson proposed the idea of changing clocks by 2 hours every spring to the Wellington Philosophical Society, as he wanted to have more daylight hours to devote to collecting and examining insects. In 1907, British resident William Willett presented the idea as a way to save energy. Then let's see. In 1908, Port Arthur in Ontario, Canada started using daylight savings time. Is it daylight savings time or daylight saving? You know, Black people like to put S's on everything.
You know what? I thought it was savings. I thought it really was savings. But now
I'm seeing on here, it's just daylight saving time.
Get out of the city. And now that you read how it started, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Daylight
saving time. Again, people with daylight savings.
We've been adding S's for hundreds of years.
Don't forget to turn your clocks back for daylight savings. Dang, oh man,
that S has got a chokehold on us. It does.
That is so funny.
My God.
Oh man, we've been wrong all these years. I'm just gonna say DST because that's what they're saying on Wikipedia.
Right.
Keep it simple.
That was interesting. So now the history of it makes sense, and yeah, it makes sense why we could just change it whenever.
Yeah, I mean, because they decided to, again, white privilege. I'm not even going. Let's keep moving. that's a rabbit hole that we can go down forever.
Okay, I'll go on to my contribution for the day is,
all right,
I do.
Okay,
I'm saying I do to this nifty little app called, is it The Nudge or just Nudge? We add the to stuff too, but it is The Nudge.
This is true.
The Walmart.
I'm cracking up because last time we, our last episode, you were talking about putting R's in front of stuff because you said porn. And now we're talking about putting a the in front of words and adding an S. So
speaking of R, let me just give this quick little story. You know, my niece's name is Paris, and she knows how to spell her name. So she spelled it for me the other day.
Oh, God. Like, please don't tell me what she did, what I think she did.
She said, yep, she did. She said, I can spell my name, Auntie. P-A-R-I-S. My mama was like, it's not Ara. It's R. She like, okay. Ara, I was
packing.
I'm like, Ma, just leave her alone, because mm-hmm. at least she knows how to spell it. She'll get it right later.
Exactly. when a little kid corrects her, I'd be like, Ara. You know that's right. How it's gonna happen.
Okay. So I'm saying I do to this app called The Nudge. What The Nudge is a place where you can go and find ideas for like dates or just friend outings or even things that you just want to go do around the city by yourself. It gives you cute little ideas. And right now it looks like it is in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 major cities throughout the country. Chicago being one. Nashville is one, Shari.
Okay.
So
I'm downloading it right now.
Yes, you can download this app. It sends you nudges, which are ideas about different little outings. Now, when they send you the nudge under the free... She's nudging herself, guys.
I started.
Under the free subscription, the nudge only lasts for 48 hours. So you got to make sure you look at it, get all the information you need from it, screenshot, whatever. If you pay for the, I don't know if it's called premium or whatever the case, if you pay for it, you have unlimited access to the little outings and events, and you can save them, you can put them in a vault, you can collect reward points, all kind of things. So me and Selena used one of these this past weekend. We went to brunch, we went to a museum I had never been to or even heard of before in Chicago, on the campus of University of Chicago. It was free, it was a great time, and I just really like this app. I have saved all types of cute little ideas, and I'm excited.
Okay, then. I see they have date nights, at home, hikes, afternoons, day trips, getaways, going out. Okay. Yeah, this is good for me, especially since I'm still... Look, you know, new to the city, and I don't really get a chance to get out a whole lot just because of work and school, but this is cool.
Yeah, so it's good to go out and discover the city, and it's also good when planning dates since, you know.
Oh, I see something on here, DIY sushi and sake night. That sounds cool. Mm-hmm. Sushi, nice. All right, I'm going to be... checking this out.
And you know, it gives you ideas about, you may know a lot about your city, but then it gives you ideas about stuff you may not have even thought of or new places you may not have heard of yet. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay, nice. On that note, since Sharice was like, all right, I'll wrap us on up. You know, it's okay, Sharice. But I'm just going to give everyone a nudge to stay tuned.
Ah, very good.
Because we have a special guest coming up after the break.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Optimistic Divorcees Podcast. If you have topic suggestions or would like to be a guest, send us an email at theoptimisticdivorceespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not already, make sure to follow us online at The Opt Divorcees on Instagram and The Optimistic Divorcees on Facebook. To sign up for our email list, use the link in our Instagram bio or check out the show notes.
Tune in to the Faith Over Everything podcast, which covers literally everything, whether it's pop culture, religion, politics, relationships, fashion and beauty, entertainment, Black culture. We are talking about it all. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode available for your listening pleasure on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. Also, feel free to follow us on the following pages. Instagram is Faith Over Everything _podcast, or on Facebook, the page is Faith Over Everything. Thank you for tuning in.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back and welcome back. As Shari told you before the break, we have a very, very special guest with us on today. We have Miss Charmaine. What's your last name, Charmaine?
Amber, but you know.
Miss Charmaine B is in the his house.
That girl right there. That's been right there.
We have known Charmaine for quite a while at this point.
It's been a lot of years.
We met her through this, how shall I say, online community that we were a part of some years ago, and we met a lot of good people, made a lot of good friends, and she is one that we are happy to reconnect with today.
Yeah.
We have her here to share her story, and what else do you want to tell us about you, Charmaine?
Hey, I'm Charmaine. How old am I? I just turned 33.
Wow.
That's the first time I've said that aloud since my birthday.
You better walk in it, Charmaine. Walk in at 33.
I usually lie and say 30, but you know.
Oh,
walking in truth and
right.
And all that good stuff. I mean, it's not much to say about me. I work in healthcare now. Y'all know I used to work in law enforcement for 8 years. So this is like a big, like 180. I work in healthcare now. I currently reside in Charlotte, North Carolina with my boo thing.
Yeah, we gonna get into that, honey.
Well, welcome, girl.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so we're going to jump right in. Before you tell us about the new boo thing,
okay,
we would like for you to share with us, give us a quick overview about your previous marriage and divorce story. Tell us about that.
So I met my ex-husband in church. Y'all know how that go. I'd known him for maybe like 10 years total. We'd always seen each other in church. Our families knew each other, that whole bit, but we never really spoke. So I want to say years ago, we started talking and, you know, we, you know, developed a relationship. Everything was going good, but I was young. Let me emphasize by saying I was really, really young and young-minded more than just young. So super naive, kind of. So, you know, we got married. He was younger than me.
Oh, wow. By how many years?
Oh, my goodness. Was it five?
Okay,
it was like five or six years. Like, he was like, he's 20 or 21.
Okay.
He was much younger than me when we got married.
Okay.
So that plays a factor in where we are today.
Yeah.
Huge factor in where we are today. And on the outset, like when we were dating and when we were engaged, everything was fine. There were red flags that I chose not to see, though. There were some red flags that I chose not to see. Like, I saw them and I was just like, it's gonna be okay. You know, because as always, you know, you think that, you know, as time changes, as, you know, your status changes, that people will change.
Yeah.
And we now know that is untrue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will be who they are regardless of whatever the situation is, whether married, whether single, people are going to be who they are. So
until they decide to change.
Right. When they decide to, they will.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm sorry to interrupt your story, but I just kind of want to ask if you can just share maybe one or two of the red flags that you felt was happening.
So there was a controlling thing there. There was a controlling nature there that it was subtle at first. So I didn't really pick up on it, or I chose not to like dig deep into it, but it became a huge thing once we were married. Mm-hmm. That I think that was the biggest thing, okay. That controlling aspect.
Yeah.
And that played a huge part in our marriage and ultimately in our divorce.
Okay.
That was one of the main ones. But yeah, so as I feel like as soon as we got married, I feel like the hammer dropped.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I feel like everything was going well. And there was like a huge thing that happened before we got married, while we were still engaged. So I wanted my pastor to be the one to marry us. And there was a whole to-do about my pastor not marrying us. And sorry, I didn't give you that background, but he's my ex-husband is an assistant pastor. His father is a pastor.
Okay.
So he's in ministry and all of this stuff. And they felt like my pastor shouldn't be the one to marry us because, I don't know, maybe he didn't have all the credentials that they thought he should have. He wasn't like a bishop, or he was just a regular pastor, but he was my pastor. And I felt like it was only right that he, and that's something that was agreed upon beforehand. But now that we're planning, it seemed like his family, his father specifically, didn't want things to happen. So it basically got to the point where his father threatened to cut him off if my pastor did the wedding.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And so me trying to, you know, like diffuse the situation, I told my pastor that these other people were going to do it. And it caused a real rift in our relationship.
Oh, man.
Because, you know, before he was my pastor, like I've known him for years,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. So it caused a real rift. Like, he didn't even come to my wedding. He came to my wedding. Oh. He didn't come to my reception. Like, he was really hurt.
Oh, yeah.
He was really hurt. And I was hurt, too.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm like, this man is going to be my husband. His father is threatening to cut him off.
Yeah. And that's going to affect
cut
you.
Cut him off from the family. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to, you know, I was stuck between a weird place. And I had to choose. And I chose this man. And it's him. And so that situation should have sent me out the door, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. It sent me further into the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I should have backed out then, but you know, things you learn as you go on.
This is true. This is true.
So we got married, and I feel like I said, I feel like the hammer dropped after we got married. I feel like it was this huge, that controlling thing, that thing came up heavy. About what I could wear, about how I could do my hair. Yes.
Wow.
It went into overdrive. I guess he felt like since we were married now, that he had all license and all, you know, privileges to say whatever he wants to me, and I was supposed to submit, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And something else people get confused all the time. Submission.
Yeah, right.
We ain't gonna get into that. So, I remember one time.
Let me ask you this. Go ahead. Do you think his controlling issues or nature had anything to do with him being younger than you and him feeling like he had to like show this macho, like I'm a man side because he was younger than you?
Hmm. I never even thought of that, you know?
Mm.
I never thought of that. And it never came up in therapy either. That's crazy. No, I never thought of that. I always attributed it to the fact that his father was such a force in his life and probably still is. And he was controlling like that. He controlled the whole family.
Okay.
He controlled the whole family. Like, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, his father is the oldest of their siblings, and there's a lot of them. So he's like the head of them. And as far as his, my ex-husband, his siblings, like, he really controls the family, like, with kind of like an iron fist. Like, he's very manipulative when it comes to them. So I feel like he got that from his father. Like, he needed to be that controlling person because his father was.
Oh, wow.
But I never thought of that. That's something to think about, too. Yeah, because I was old. I mean, I am older than him. So kind of like he felt like he had to, like,
Puff his chest out, like, right, I'm still the man, even though I'm younger.
Right. Trying to, like, prove himself.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. But I remember one time I had wanted to change my hairstyle. It was something simple. I wanted to change my hair. It was some weave or something like that. And I went and I showed him the picture, and he was like, I don't really like that style. And I was like, okay. I'm still gonna get my hair this way. Because at the end of the day, you don't gotta wear it, I gotta wear it.
Mm-hmm.
So he said to me, when I start talking to other females, because you don't look how I want you to look, then you gonna understand.
What? And
that thing did something to me. That thing did something to me. And it was
just, so manipulative.
It seemed like a simple moment, but it caused me to change a little bit of everything. Mm. So then I started wearing my hair the way he wanted me to wear my hair. Mm. You know?
That's just what he wanted.
Yeah. I started, ugh, because I'm like, you know, so, and it eats at you mentally. Like, it feeds on your subconscious, like, you know, you don't think anything of it at the time, but in the back of your mind, it's playing.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I need to change. I need to do this. Like, I remember throwing out half my wardrobe because of the stuff that he didn't want me to wear.
Wow. Yeah.
He wanted me to fit into this first lady mold thing.
Girl.
And I found myself losing my individuality. I was a shadow. I end up being a shadow in that relationship, a shadow that just dressed up and looked nice and went to church and smiled at people and was miserable.
Wow.
Honestly, miserable.
So what was the straw that, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to just ask, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? Then you were like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. Or like, what ended up finally leading you guys to divorce?
So what did it for me was one day I was coming home from work, and I was on the bus. I was riding the bus, and as the bus started getting close to home and close to my stop, I started having a panic attack.
Oh my goodness.
I started having a panic attack, and I was like, what is going on with me? I start hyperventilating. So I got off the bus a little bit early. I got off the bus ahead of my stop, and I just walked the rest of the way to, you know, just calm myself down. I'm hyperventilating, I'm crying, and I can't figure out why I'm feeling this way. But then I realized I'm feeling this way because I'm approaching home, and I know I got to go in here and deal with this man. And that caused me to have a panic attack. And it happened two more times after that. And I was like, I was like, nah, dog, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And
isn't it amazing, like, how our bodies will, you know, respond to things that we don't even know is going on?
And I was just going back and forth day to day, just dealing with whatever came with the relationship, because it was just like, it is what it is. I said I do. You know, and I didn't want to feel like, the main thing is I didn't want to feel like I failed.
Yeah.
I didn't want to feel like, oh, you got a divorce. You failed at this thing. That was my main thing. So no matter what happened, you know, I was kind of determined to stick it out because of that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had those panic attacks, I was like, no, you hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then my like hair was falling out during that time too, and you know, I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah,
I did not put two and two together until that time. I was just like, no, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the stress and not being able to talk to anybody, because he was very big on nobody needs to know our business. You know, we in the church world and people shouldn't know our business. Mm-hmm. It was, I was isolated. I was really an island state. I wasn't talking to my mother. Oh, I wasn't talking to my sisters like that. Like, because the manipulation again. Oh, because, you know, I had good girlfriends that were really close to me. And mm-hmm. he used to be like, oh, they're not married. So you shouldn't be talking your business with them. And all of that, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like you go to your mother's house all the time. You go to your mother's house too much. And just to prevent those arguments from happening, I stopped doing everything.
Wow. Dang.
Just to stop. And nobody knew what I was going through. They just mm-hmm. thought, you know, I was off the scene or whatever the case may be. No, I was in that house.
Suffering.
Trying to hold it together. I was in a house trying to hold it together, not being able to talk to anybody because that's not what he wanted. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was, and I had to decide. I had to decide, like, are you going to keep doing this? I said, are you going to get out? And don't get me wrong, we both had our issues, but mm-hmm. it was mainly that controlling thing that I couldn't live with.
Yeah.
I could not live with.
Yeah.
And one last thing I remember, and I didn't realize it until like a therapy session years later, how much it affected me. Mm-hmm. So he had weight loss surgery. Mm-hmm. He had weight loss surgery. And so, and I took care of him through that and whatever. And so he had kept asking me if I was going to get weight loss surgery. And I kept telling him, no, I don't see a reason for me to get weight loss surgery. So one particular time he asked me, he was like, did you ever think about getting the surgery? And I was like, yeah, I thought about it. And I decided I don't want to do the surgery. He was like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. He was like, I don't even have nothing to say to you no more. And and ignored me for the remainder of that day and that night.
What?
I mean, I was trying to talk to him and he took the iPad and he put it up to his face. I laugh at it now, but it broke something in me. Like, when you met me, I was this size.
Mm.
Now, all of a sudden, we got to have surgery.
Yeah.
Right.
And if I choose to, okay. But if I don't choose to, that's right. A problem.
And right.
So, I mean, and I have stories for days, but those are just a few of the things that, you know, I experienced while being in that relationship. It was a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, like one day I called my mother. I was like, hey, can you, what you doing on Saturday? Can you come pick me and my stuff up? And she was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, yeah.
No questions and, asked. Thank God for mamas.
Real.
I'm telling you. And so I started packing and he got upset. He was like, why are you leaving? Why are you, what happened? I was like, we have been going through hell for these past 3 years. I said, and I've asked you repeatedly to go to counseling. I've asked you repeatedly to do all these things. And I said, and you refuse to because you don't want to tell nobody your business.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so what do you expect me to do? Stay here? I said, no. So I started packing. He was like, okay, we'll go to counseling. Okay. I was like, yeah, dog. That's what I thought you would say. After we've gotten all the way here to the end, now you want to pick up and go back to counseling. I'm good. Yeah. And I did actually go to a session with him. And it just further reinforced why we didn't need to be together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at that point, he was probably just trying to, you know, save face mm-hmm. too, and didn't want to look like he failed.
Yeah. So, I mean, a Saturday, my mother came, she picked me and all my stuff up, and I slept the best I ever slept on her couch that night. I promise you.
Peace.
I promise you.
Nothing like
peace over there.
Yes.
I promise you.
Wow.
But yeah.
So with all that you went through and experienced, you know, in your marriage, after you got divorced and, you know, you started thinking about getting into dating again, like, how did your experience from your marriage and what you kind of went through there impact and affect, like, what you thought about love and relationships going forward?
So, in the beginning, when I first, like, got divorced and, like, my mind was not on dating at all because I just felt like I wasn't in a place where I loved or liked myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like if I was in a place where I loved and liked myself, I might not have ended up in the situation that I was in my first marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't have accepted so many things if the love started with me first. And
the word
like,
right there.
And the concern for myself started with me first. And I feel like it didn't. You know, I had to learn to love myself. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn to value who I am first before trying to give it away to somebody else.
Oh, yes.
And that's I feel good, like that Charmaine. Was the problem. That was the issue. So at first, I kind of blamed myself because it's just like, you know, you weren't ready to be married in the first place anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did blame myself, but at the same time, even if you're not ready to be married, nobody should treat you like dirt.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Who say they love you in front of all these people? But that was my first thing. So, like, after I got over, you know, being mad at the church because they talked about me like a dog when I left. Because of course he the assistant pastor, his father the pastor. You know they go, yeah. So apparently they had a meeting, and at the meeting they blamed everything on me.
Of course they did.
A church meeting. They called the church meeting.
Girl, it was a church meeting on you.
About you.
They called a church meeting on me. I was like, nah, y'all.
That's funny.
I was like, y'all can't be. But me, little old me. Yeah, they call it church me. So, of course, that put me in the place of forget all y'all, all you church people, forget church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I didn't want to have nothing to do with any of that. But, yeah. You know, of course, I had to get past that because my relationship with God is very important to me. And God didn't do anything to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So for me to, you know, shut that whole aspect of my life out was crazy. But, you know, of course, I was going through that. But after that,
I think we all go through that. All of us church women who have dealt with these church men. And we all go through that phase where it's like, church? What?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that and even when you were talking earlier about even though you didn't do anything wrong, how you were blaming yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can definitely, you know, attest to going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, man, like, what did I do? Or why wasn't I good? You know, it's all these things. And it does take a while to get past those thought patterns and, you know, realize, like, listen, It not that we don't play a part, you know, because it takes two people, but like really kind of recognizing I may have played a role in this, but I definitely didn't do this. And I didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It takes a while to get to that place too.
It does.
To be like, okay, it happened. Life happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you can move past that. You know, it's a lot of guilt involved.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's a lot of guilt, especially being in the church, going back to that. It's a lot of guilt involved with divorce when, to be honest, some of y'all should have been divorced a long time ago and y'all staying together because of the church. And y'all need to break up. I don't hear nobody. Y'all need to break up.
Charmaine said, I'm going to repeat it. Y'all need to break up.
Y'all need to break up.
a lot of people got together for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And stayed together because of what the people might think. Forget the people.
Yeah. I mean, this and is true. I mean, that's what happened with me.
I was like so concerned about like what people would think. Like I stopped going to church, even though people knew it at this point, like what had taken place. But I stopped going because I was like so embarrassed. And then I also just didn't want to hear what they had to say about it.
Yeah. So much commentary.
Mm-hmm.
They can't let you just go through in peace. They got to, yeah, I knew he wasn't no good, girl. Yeah.
Told you not to get married.
Why you ain't tell me he wasn't no good if you knew he wasn't no good?
Exactly. And you over there doing all that praying. I know God dropping something in your spirit. He ain't telling you that.
He dropped something.
Well, in their defense, if they told you, you probably wouldn't have listened anyway.
Well, that is very true. That is so true, Sister Charisse.
And that it's funny that you mentioned that because my mother actually... She had called me one day, like after everything was over, and you know, we were just talking, and she told me, she was like, I really felt bad because it was something about me that did not, you know, something in my spirit didn't take to that man. Mm. She said, and I feel bad because I didn't know you were going through what you were going through, and I wish I would have told you. Mm. I said, but Mom, I had to let her know that, you know, certain things, you know, you have to go through. That's my belief.
Yeah.
You know, certain things you do have to go through. And I feel like if I wouldn't have gone through, you know, that whole situation, I wouldn't have learned to properly love and like myself and value myself and value my worth. I don't think I would have.
Yeah.
I think I might have got it later on in life, but I think I might have still been in that place where, you know, I didn't value myself as much as I do value my peace as much as I do. So, you know, things happen for a reason. Situations you go through, you get put through, you know, it teach you things.
Yeah, for sure.
So I told her, you know, I had to tell her not to feel guilty for that because, you know, things happen.
Yeah.
You know, everybody think life is going to be perfect and it ain't.
That part.
At all.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I'm Dana, aka Dynamite781 across the social medias, and I am here to tell you about my podcast that is currently streaming on your favorite listening platform. It's called This Should Be in a Book. People often tell me that the things I say should be in a book, but I didn't want to write a book. So I decided to release my knowledge podcast style. New episodes are available every Monday, and you'll be able to listen to my insight on this thing called life, 3 points into poem style, minus the poem. So after you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to This Should Be in a Book to listen and subscribe. Hope you enjoy.
Therapy was a huge thing, though, for me. Therapy was a huge thing for me.
Did you jump in right away?
No. Child, I was in denial. I was like, I don't need nothing. I was like, I'm good. I'm going to be all right. I'm good. I was like, maybe about 6 months. And then I was like, yeah, no, you need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to somebody because, you know, talking to your family is one thing and talking to friends is one thing and they're a good outlet, but you know, having that professional opinion and finding a good therapist at that, because every therapist you don't vibe with.
You know,
you have to find one that, you know, is a good fit for you. But when you find that person that's a good fit for you, it causes you to, you know, they ask the right questions that cause you to evaluate yourself.
Yeah.
And I needed that because I had been compartmentalizing things like crazy. I had stuff tucked away that you forget because you choose to forget.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And therapy just brought so many things up. So many. It was much needed, still needed today.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge factor in wanting to even date again.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because if not, so my mama, you not get no grandkids out of me because I'm in the street. I'm in the street, baby. I was like, I don't know if I can do this one more time. I'm in the street. But
Charmaine said, we out here.
Oh, right. We outside. But no, yeah, therapy definitely changed my outlook on being worthy of happiness again.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Love that. Okay, yeah.
That's a good segue into the next part of this. So you've been married, you've been divorced, you went to therapy to start your healing, and you loving yourself, and you for these streets, right?
Period.
Then there's new love. Tell us about that.
Well, we met at work.
Okay.
We met at work and we were really good friends. We were friends before I had got married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were friends at work before I got married. And, you know, we were always close. We were always cool, cordial with one another. You know, we talked often. We hung out. And then, you know, I kind of dropped off the scene, of course, when I got married and I stopped talking to everybody. But we would still see each other at work. And it was just, you know, like high and by or whatever. And I don't know if I texted him or he texted me. I texted him just to see how he was doing because I hadn't seen him in such a long time. And he texted me back, like, who is this? I was like, you don't got my number saved no more? He was like, I thought it was your husband. I don't know. I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to be in the middle or nothing. I was like, well, I'm not married anymore. He was like, oh, really? And then, you know, we got the texting again. And then we had seen each other and we were just hanging out and I don't know. We just started talking again. I never really thought about him like that before. We were just friends and coworkers. That's it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. This time when we connected, there was something different there. And, you know, we just kind of saw where it went. And, you know, we dated. And he came to Thanksgiving. I was like,
oh, okay.
I was like, ooh. I was like, I'm nervous because last time I brought somebody around my family, they end up being a scrub.
Oh.
So, I was really nervous because, you know, I love my family. I value my family. And so bringing you in the same space with my family, I was like, all right, God. And I was like, please let me know if this ain't going to work out because I don't got time. That was my main thing. I don't got time for nobody foolishness. I don't got time for no games. I don't got time to, you know, do all of that. If, you know, if we're going to do this thing, let's do this thing. Mm-hmm. If not, let me know so I can drop you off. You know? Let me know. That was my main thing. Like, I didn't want to be in anything that was going to waste my time or, you know, or not serve me in the way that it should.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but he came around my family and my family absolutely loved him.
Okay.
And we just started spending more and more time together. And it was effortless. That was the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was effortless. We didn't have to try. It was like, it was just there. The connection was there and the understanding was there. And that was really big for me.
Aww.
And we just was together all the time.
And then engaged.
Right, I was about to say, and then. You know we what we want, girl, and then.
So before that, we had moved in together. And I was really nervous about that too, because I'm like, oh Lord, I'm out here shagging. You know, old habits die hard. You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But we had moved in together, and I said to myself, I said, all right, I said, I feel good about this now. I said, but I know from experience that living with a person is totally different. You know, dating a person and being with a person versus living with a person is two different ball games. So mm-hmm. when I moved in, I was like, all right. And it was like, it was kind of like I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. Mm. And it never did. I was looking around like, all right, I'm good. and it just kept being good. Like we worked well together. Like we had fun, we laughed. I never felt like I was less than. I never felt like I couldn't, you know, go where I wanted to go, do whatever I wanted to do. I felt free. He was like, and even some little things I had to adjust because I was treating him like my ex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So and you had that
catch me.
You had residue.
Absolutely. And he had to catch me like, listen, he was like, I think it was one time I was like, listen, you know, I'm going to go see my mom or something like that. He was like, you don't got to ask me to go nowhere. He was like, that's your mother. He was like, if you want to go to the Empire State Building for all I care, he was like, just as long as you stay and you come back at some point. He was right. Like, go. And those little things I had to start like adjusting. I was like, he is not the other guy. He is not mm-hmm. like I had to check myself. And I think that was part of how I knew that it would be different.
Mm.
You know, there were things that we encountered that I encountered in my marriage that he handled totally different.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, Mister.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And like, I went around his family and I fell in love with them. They fell in love with me. And you know, it was his sister pulling me aside and saying, you didn't like that other girl. He was I said, y'all gotta stop. I said, y'all gotta stop doing that. She said, no, we didn't like her. And he was engaged before. He was engaged before. And he was with her for, I think he was with her for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So they had been through a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, without me telling his story, they had been through a lot as well. So we were both kind of in a space where we were like, we're going to see how this thing goes.
Yeah, and y'all both afraid and taking the risk together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We both took a risk and it
paid off.
Yeah. And so he brought marriage up because, you know, I was at the point where, listen, I can take it or leave it. I done been there, done that. I got the t-shirt, got that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. If I get married again, cool. If not, cool. I just want to be happy.
Yeah.
But then he started bringing up marriage, and I'm like, oh,
what?
He's like,
what
yeah,
you say that now?
What you say over there,
Mr. Chuck?
Marriage.
And he started bringing up the idea of marriage, and I'm like, I'm cool with whatever, you know me. You know, and so we had decided that we would, you know, we was just gonna go to the Justice of Peace or something, get married. And little did I know, he was planning this whole situation.
Ooh.
So we got it. He proposed to me on my birthday. Embarrassed me in front of a whole restaurant full of people. But it was so sweet. And I found out that he had been planning it for 3 months.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, how? Like right up underneath my nose. The ring was right here in the house somewhere. Everything. I was just so shocked. Mm-hmm. I was just so shocked. He flew my best friend in from Florida.
She got flew out.
Her and her husband came out here to witness the whole thing. And yeah, I was a wreck.
I'm sure.
And more so because you kind of have like survivor's remorse, survivor's guilt. Mm-hmm. Like you feel like you're not entitled to happiness again. Like you had your chance and all right, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like that sometimes. And to experience something like this and something that feels so genuine and so effortless, like it's hard to not feel like, bro, when is it gonna stop? It's hard to feel like you're still waiting for the other shoe to drop,
like that whole thing.
I'm on my way out of it. Like I feel like I'm for the most part not waiting for that anymore. But some days I just be like, is this really happening? Some days I do feel like that.
I'm so happy though.
I'm so happy. He's an incredible person. Mm-hmm. He's really intelligent. He's really kind. And he's considerate. I'm getting emotional.
I'm getting emotional.
Stop.
I'm gonna get emotional too.
For real. That's awesome.
He's really considerate. And especially after everything that I've been through, to be able to be with a person who is just so considerate of my feelings. And just like, we've never argued. And that's scary to me, but we've never argued. We've had disagreements. We've had little, I don't like your view. You don't like my view, but we've never argued. He's never raised his voice at me. Mm. Like those things, like I wouldn't trade those things. All right, y'all.
That's just so sweet because when you have been through like stuff that we have been through, like first of all, like we do get emotional because we know how you get married, you have these expectations of how you think your marriage is gonna go. You go through all this hurt and pain, and then you lose that relationship in a sense, and then you grieve, and then you go through all these doubts about yourself, and you have to kind of morph and figure out who you are now that you're not with this person anymore, and you've lost yourself. So now you're in this stage of like, okay, well, who am I? What do I want? And and am I gonna find somebody that's gonna love me? Am I gonna find the right person for me? So when Teresa and I see people, like you, especially someone that we've known and you've gone through it, you've come out on this other side and you found love again, like that's just amazing.
Beautiful. And
it really is. It really is. So I'm really happy for you. So happy for you. And yeah, girl, cry all those tears. Those tears
cry
of joy.
Those happy tears, girl.
Yeah, for real.
I am a thug. But no, I'm really grateful. I'm grateful.
That's amazing. Because,
yeah. And like you, is the main thing that you said when you're grieving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people really get that.
Yeah,
I don't think people really get that. Like you're grieving like the death of that relationship, the death of that person that you were too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Like, because that person really is gone. That. Yeah, when you've gone through like what you talk about, just in terms of manipulation and control, and you really do lose a sense of yourself, and it is a grief of like, man, I'm never going to be that person again. And it taints you in a sense towards new relationships to come, because like I mentioned, like the whole residue, like it's always something that from that past thing that's kind of creeping in that you have to kind of sweep aside and remember like, okay, this isn't this person, this isn't him, this is somebody new. So absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of change. So
yeah, and if you're careful, you could sabotage something new, still dealing with those old feelings of how you were treated before. You know, expecting you know something else bad to happen or something. You can sabotage something that might be good for you.
Yeah,
and I have to be careful not to do that.
Mm-hmm. So that right there, what you just said, is a part of what I was going to ask, like advice for, you know, other women or encouragement. And I think what you just said was a great start. You got anything else you want to add to what you would say to encourage someone who's been through something and maybe thinking that, you know, they might not find love again or they're not worthy? Like, what words of advice or encouragement would you want to share?
I would say that to find your peace. Find your peace. Find your peace. And it doesn't start with anybody else. It starts with you. It starts from within. You got to find your peace. And you have to maintain it through these different situations, through these different relationships, through, if you hold on to your peace, then you'll hold on to yourself when the relationships don't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we throw everything into a relationship and we forget about ourselves. And then there's nothing left when the relationship is over.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing left. When it's over. So I would say hold on to your peace and love yourself. Love yourself so nobody has to reinforce that in you. Know for yourself who you are. Self-awareness and self-love is so important. So that when somebody comes and they talking a whole lot of nonsense, you can be able to say that doesn't serve me. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for who I am or where I'm trying to go in my life. Mm-hmm. And you can leave that alone. And like I said before, as you're embarking upon like new love and new relationships and things like that, be careful that you don't sabotage it with those feelings from before and those same things that you went through before and thinking that man or that woman or that person is going to be like what you dealt with before. You know, you don't want to miss out on, you know, something that God could have sent for you because you're thinking about how much you were hurt before and how you don't ever want to experience that again. So if anybody coming, don't come.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. Like it's not an easy process. It's so difficult. You know, it's not easy at all. You know, sometimes you still day to day, you still have feelings, you still have emotions, you still think of what could have been, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, then you think about, you know, how much better your life is now. You know, I think about how much better my life is now as opposed to years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. You know, some days I get low and I'll be like, dang, man, I could have been way further along had I, you know, had I stuck it out or had I did this or had I did that. You know, I would have been married for this many years or, you know, we think about those things, you know, because people put so much value in them.
Yeah.
You know. And I won't say that time doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter as much as people think it does.
Right.
Well, true.
You know, a lot of people think, oh, we've been married for 10 years. But were you miserable 7 out of the 10 years? Honestly, how much does the 10 years mean if most of it you were miserable?
Right.
Exactly.
How much does it mean? Girl, you've been married 2.5 good ones. 2.5 good ones. In real time.
And I've been there.
I was going to say that's my story.
Yeah. I was married 8 years and I was probably happy a year out of those 8 years, and it wasn't a consecutive 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple.
Ooh, you had to pick some months out.
Yeah.
And piece them together. Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah.
Honestly, so, I feel the same way. I was married for 3 years, and I want to say maybe about 5-6 months was I.
See?
about 5, and not all together either. Not all together.
See? So you feel
take
me.
A month, but take a month, maybe two.
Right.
And it was all right, month.
You got this new love, and we wish you many, 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 many years, infinite years of yes. love and happiness thank in this you. New relationship. We are so happy for you. We're so mm-hmm. happy that you came and you shared your story and you dropped those nuggets. And we know that somebody will be encouraged and blessed from your story. And if you want to share your social media handles so we can follow you and look at the planning and see when the date is set and what your bridesmaid's going to wear and all that, go ahead and share with the listeners.
Okay. You can find me on Instagram. It's at charmaine.alexandria. And we also have a couple page.
Oh.
Because we be cooking.
Okay.
We be cooking and stuff. We do a little something. That's we not chefs, but we do a little something. So the cooking page is, our couple page is at The Saucy Couple. It's D-A Saucy Couple. And we're on Instagram, TikTok. I'm trying to get with the young kids and be on TikTok.
Right.
We're on Twitter and we're working on our YouTube. So yeah, we got some good things coming.
That's cute. Look at y'all doing content, things together.
Got some content coming.
Come on, content creators. All right.
Oh, yeah. Trying to do a little something.
Trying to cook up something over there.
But cook up a little something.
Oh, well, thank you again, Charmaine, for joining us and giving absolutely. Us that information to follow you. I can't wait to see y'all cook and things.
Yes, ma'am. Thank y'all so much for having me. I appreciate you both.
Of course. We had to, girl. So,
you like, obviously.
Right. Don't get me started because I will do the whole Antoine Dodson skit.
Yo, I still love him to this day. He's climbing in your window.
Right. Snatching your people up.
Why do I still remember that?
Girl, I bought the single when they made it into a song. When I be into my people, I be into
no,
my
you
people.
Didn't.
My
you,
social media.
You bought the single.
I bought the single.
I'm screaming.
So anyway, y'all, you can follow me and Shari individually. We already gave you our Optimistic Divorcees information if you listen to the little commercials, but you can follow us individually. I'm Au Naturel on Instagram.
And I am Shari Lachelle
on Instagram. So we will put all of that information in the show notes, all of Charmaine's information in the show notes. And we thank you for listening and see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Bye. Optimistic about life. I'll always try.